Welcome to Office Hours. It's your weekly half-hour segment where I answer questions about NEOS. We go ahead and get questions answered based on the questions and the order that they appear inside the thread. So get those questions entered into that thread, and I'll get them not answered in the order that they appear in. If you're not sure what's going on, check the Office Hours tech chat. So if you channel is above the one that you're currently in. Looking at the list, we have a few questions lined up, so go ahead and get those answered. We'll also try and find my English language inside my brain. Okay, Specs asks, now that MMC is done this year, what's on your plate for NEOS things? Got any projects you're waiting to get into? Not really, just the same projects that existed. They were kind of just delayed by MMC. I got to the end of last week, sort of Sunday, which was that yesterday? No, day before yesterday. And I sort of thought, like, I haven't done anything this week. And then I looked, it's like, No, you kind of, you know, ran the voting for the rest of the weekend. That's last weekend. Weekend before last. Sorry. Time is confusing. Ran the voting, judged the entries, rehearsed the award show, went to the award show. Like, lots went on. It just didn't feel like it did. So I was productive last week. But yeah, that's all over now. Back on other things. As a reminder for those who don't know what the MMC is, or even those that do, even if you won, lost, entered, didn't enter, whatever it is, just remember that the stuff that is created at the MMC can be created at any point during the year. You don't need the MMC as an excuse to make it. So carry on making cool stuff for NEOS. I love seeing it. Moving forwards to the next question there, which says from Lex, who says, when silencing a user through the Sessions tab, the one that mutes a user for everyone, does that user's voice audio stream stop being transmitted, or does it set the volume to zero? I don't know. I'd have to open the code base and go take a look. I'll go ahead and get that open, and then I will dig back into it when I get a chance as we go through the normal ebb and flow of questions. Unnamed Cyborg Cat says, ever heard of Copy Kitty? It's an amazing game the devs worked on very hard on, super underrated. I have not. I have, like, 1,800 games on Steam and, like, 2,000 plus on my wish list, probably it's on there. I don't know, though. And with that, all the questions are over. I'm going to mute, take humongous gulps of water, and then I'll be back. And I'm back. There are no additional questions. If you have additional questions, drop them in the Office Hours tech chat. I'll get to them in the order that they appear in. Whilst there are no questions, I'm just going to sit here and think about cheese. You'll be pleased to know my Amazon order has shipped. I don't know what it is. I don't remember what it is. What shipped? I don't know. I'll figure that out later. It's just reading the code on silence. Looks like it will actually prevent the audio from being transmitted. Don't quote me. Do your own testing. But based on my limited understanding of how that works, it won't write to the value stream. We have a question here from unnamed Cyborg Cat, who says, does NEOS support any proprietary Mahal formats in the source engine? So the NEOS wiki has a list of stuff which people have, like, looked at and sort of, like, work-ish. Some of the problem here is that we it's like what we support isn't entirely up to us. It's more up to AssImp, which we use to import assets. If it's supported by those, then it will sometimes work. Sometimes there's extra work we have to do once AssImp has handed it to us, but you can see a list there. An alphabetical? Yeah, it's an alphabetical. Alphabetical. It's difficult because things like FBX are technically proprietary. So yeah, NEOS supports a proprietary file format. FBX is technically proprietary. Don't use FBX, by the way. I read this question like 3 times before unmuting it, so I'll just go ahead and read it again and then think about it some more. Lex asks, why does setting the parent of a slot using the set parent node of an invalid or null to slot parents the from slot to root? Set parent with an invalid to parents the from slot to root. I see what you mean. It should just, like, cancel the operation. I also wish more nodes had like failure states. Let me take a look here. What I want is more nodes to have on failure. So if it pulsed with, like, on fail coming out of set parent, then it would be it'd be good to do that. Okay, yeah, so the new parent will default to the root slot if you pass in null or like an invalid value. I think a lot of this is just like various sort of hacky patches that we've been doing over the years to try and prevent null parents from happening. Anywhere that touches the slot hierarchy model, we try and basically like interject and say, hey, you're about to null parent this, don't do that. no, don't do that. The behavior change that you're requesting where it, you know, doesn't do that is something that would be cool. Unfortunately, it would also be a somewhat breaking change, though, because it would increase the amount of times where the set parent node wouldn't do something. Like ran out, it will basically not do something if the thing you're trying to parent is null, or if the new parent is a child of the target object, so you can't sort of put something inside itself. In those cases, it won't output failure. It'll just like literally do nothing. There'll be no output. I hate nodes that don't have an output because it's just very difficult to operate with. Yeah, it just defaults to world root if there's a problem. Rampus says nulling parent should just make Neos destroy stuff. It has no parents, so it can't exist. No, not really. So while you, and I say you with a bunch of people who write mods in here that know I'm wrong, but generally speaking, you are only able to access one hierarchy, which is the world root hierarchy. There are other hierarchies of slots and other types of components and other lists and other tree-based systems that exist outside of that system that some of this stuff operates in. And so it's incorrect to say that, like, if it's outside of the world root, it should be deleted. It's kind of correct to say that it should be deleted if it doesn't have a parent, but then again, it's like we should try and correct that rather than deleting it. Like, your MMC project accidentally parents itself to null. Yeah, we delete it instead of trying to save your work for you and send it back to the world root. It's one of those things where it's like, this is gonna... Yeah, Lex says, people who are intentionally using that to parent things to root, or people who have different logics to catch an unintentional root parent shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, they shouldn't be doing that. In fact, if you're using root slot and you're not the owner of the world, I question your motives. Always use local user space. It is, for the most part, the world root. But in those one few cases where you have world management systems using local user space, we'll keep those world management systems more performant and easier to use. So local user space. Local user space returns the parent of the user who is running the set parent operation. There is usually no downside of using local user space. I can think of a couple of cases, but only in world management systems where that might be problematic. So just use local user space. The amount of guns, RPGs, rocket launchers, grenades, bows and arrows, rifles, crossbows, drink systems I see that are just like, cool. Because I'm inconsiderate, I'll parent a bunch of stuff to root when people use me. It's like, cool. How about no? So yeah, do think about that. Like, if you have a gun that produces, like I should say, entities, sort of more traditional gaming sense. Like, for those who are unaware, most guns in games are non-entity producing. So they do bullets, and yeah, sure, bullets have animations, muzzle flash, smoke, explosions, the sometimes traces, the line that they take, etc. Those don't produce additional entities in the world. There's a basically sort of a hit scan with various complexities depending on what type of game it is. Guns that produce entities are things like grenades, rocket launchers, the Needler from Halo would be another good example. They add additional stuff to the world when they are fired. Crossbow and bow and arrow being a good sense, you know, it sticks an entity to you. Like a big rifle doesn't stick a world entity to the person, a bow and arrow does. Which is kind of strange because, like, you know, all weapons leave residue. Like guns leave, you know, impacted bullets and casings and stuff like that. I've never really seen a game make use of casings. Like sometimes they'll fall on the floor, but usually they're particle systems, so they'll clear up after a bit. But I don't know, like maybe it'll be funny if in, you know, a random shooting game, you start tripping over yourself if you stand still for too long and start firing, you know. You just can't keep your feet still when there's like cases rolling under your feet. Cases are usually quite easy to like squish though, so. You know, like dropping a bag of marbles on the floor, but just because you've been firing in the same place for too long. Specs. Actually, let's go through a couple of comments here. So, Rampus says, the only thing I can imagine not using user space is death effect. No, user space should still work because it will parent above the user, not in the user. If your world management system deletes the slot pertaining to the user when they leave, then yes, though. Depends what's going on. And test those, like extremely test them. It's difficult to test something where it's like, when I leave the world, do something I can't see because you're gone. But you know what I mean? Like, be careful. Lex says, it's always funny when I see people using custom parenting systems to attach to someone, then deparent themselves to what a parent thought they're in, and get deleted when the user they previously parented to leaves. Yeah, I've seen that happen a lot. Virtual parent might be like a solution there, if you know that like it might be an unstable user connection who might leave. Spec says, the lot of cases where I've seen folks rely on uninitialized behavior and logics like that, and I have to admit it makes me wince. No, should use a search... Should specifically initialize logic's nodes of values instead of relying on default behavior that may change at any moment, unless a node is like specifically documented and designed to have initial value that has some promise not to change without notice. Nulls are terrible. I am quite liking nullables in some C# projects I'm in right now, but it's just really annoying like how much it comes up. If you look it up, there's various articles, various quotes, various versions of it. Someone in the computing world invented null, and they regret it. I don't remember exactly who it was. It was either, I don't remember the name. It was one of the like, big computer people from like early on in the computing. It's the same thing with like the easiest way to like identify null is if you look at a Boolean, right? So a Boolean has true or false, on or off, yes or no, whatever you want to say. But then with null, you introduce a third state of Boolean, which is I don't have a value. And that's what null means in that case. I don't have a value. And that's perfectly fine to be used as I don't know or I don't have a value because I'm not initialized yet. But make that a value in your program. Like make the value be I am uninitialized, not I am null. A good example that comes up is in the sort of task-based system that C# has. Like you have to wait for a task to complete. That's great. Instead, you could have written that and the C# developers would have had hate about it, where like whilst you're waiting for a web request to happen, you have to like while loop over the result of that web request and check if it's not null. And you'd be like, ah, it's happened. Instead, they made this whole task system where it's like, has the task completed? The task has completed. Here is the task's result. And so it's like sort of implicitly built into the API that null doesn't occur, even though when it still does, when people do tasks that return null for some reason. When you're programming, you should always be wondering, what do I do when XYZ happens? What do I do when XYZ happens? And like, if the code is telling you there's a possibility that null could exist here, you need to handle it. Like, oh, the result of this method or operation could be null. What are we going to do about that? Same thing with logics, though. We need more unfails. Like, what if the parenting fails? I need to know about it. Yeah, I don't like people who do that. I always add the default of zero anyway, and people question why. And I say, well, it's there. I can change it if I need to. I don't usually need to, but I also find it a little bit easier to sort of compute in my head when I can see the default value. Otherwise, I have to remember extra information, not only what the default value is, but is the default value acceptable for that occurrence? For those who are like, well, I don't like adding the default value because that's an extra slot, just go away. Like, it's one extra slot. Come on. I mean, in most cases, it will default to zero. In cases where we have changed the default value of something, we are able to upgrade logics to inject the old default value. We did that once with find child by name or something like that. Like say, for example, I don't know, plus, right? The inputs to plus default to zero. Let's say they changed to one for some ungodly reason. The world would have to be quite screwed up for that to happen. But we would basically, when we load your logics back in, we would detect, hey, you haven't specified a default. So we will default this to zero and preserve we will preserve the old behavior by automatically injecting a zero input node for you, and that way you'll be fine. It might be the divide node. Let me see. Div float. That will allow. I forgot about that. Yeah, the divide nodes will allow divide by zero errors. I forgot about that. That's why we have the filter invalid node, to get rid of those cases where you have an invalid value. I often forget, I try to put filter invalid in places where a zero might occur with user input. For example, if there's like a form field where they're entering a number, if they need to like clear out all of the number to enter their new number, then it might, for like an update or two, it might have a zero in it. And a couple of times that stung me and broken something because I don't expect there to be a zero there. So filter invalid helps with that. For example, the value graph recorder, or it might be the graphing mesh, I can't remember which, it doesn't like if the number of values that it can store is less than two. It has to be two or greater, or it breaks and disables itself. Are there any additional questions? We've got about 5 minutes left in this office hours segment. We could talk about much more programming stuff for a long time, or we could any questions that happen, and go for them. Whatever you feel like. Whilst I wait for questions, there's a TV show on Netflix called Shadow and Bone. I don't know what it's called. Shadow and Bone. Yeah, there we go. Shadow and Bone. I was quite enjoying it until they literally resolved like the entire storyline in the finale. Like, there were a couple of episodes in the middle of the first season where like nothing was happening, and then the last episode, like an entire season worth of content happens, and I'm just like, guys, this isn't how you end a season. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, it's mid-season episode. The characters have a cup of tea. End of the season. The characters travel halfway across the world, defeat the big baddie, throw the ring into Mordor, and go home. Very annoying. So Lex asks, would you possibly know when closing a session? Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately and takes a few seconds to kick everyone, then close. I think it's resolving stuff. Like, there's stuff it has to resolve. Like, for example, if you're saving the world, that's going to add extra time to it closing, of course. But if you're not saving the world, there's got to be something that's resolving. I'd have to look into it. There's got to be something that's, like, preventing it from closing, some sort of process that needs to finish or something. Nationwide asks, why do sessions that have been open for about 3 days start to get all funky, e.g. my headless packed all logics into in the world into a single random slot? It did that by itself, or did it do that when you next tried to pack logics? That sounds like shouldn't, like, I can understand if it's funky, oh, you packed it. Yeah, so after about 3 days, numbers start getting weird. Like, I know T has issues, but I haven't really, like, worried about that. Like, if you see T getting issues, it's like, you're doing something wrong, probably. So input T will get funky after a little while. I don't remember exactly how long, but it's basically when floating point imprecision takes over in the value of T, stuff starts getting funky if you use T for everything. Maybe it ran out of, like, I don't know if it ran out of, like, references or something. I don't know why that would happen. Dynamic impulses should be fine as well. I'd have to look into, like, the numbers involved with packing. It's by sure in, like, a number problem. It just doesn't look like it. It's something, you know. And we have one more question. So I was like, distracted by reading through the logics tip to see what was going on there. Ishmael asks, one more very quick, does the headless client have a memory leak? It's possible that, like, the entirety of Neos has a memory leak. Sometimes I have to remind people, and I get all the circumstances and everything, I'm not here to talk about them, but I'm here to state facts. When it comes to the headless client, you are playing with an alpha pre-release of a feature for an early access beta video game. So yeah, it's possible it has a memory leak. All right, that is 1:30, and I don't see any more questions coming in. So I'm going to go ahead and leave things there. As a reminder, if you have questions, please feel free to direct message me them, drop them in the questions and help channel, or send a carrier pigeon my way. I'll get to them as soon as I can. And I will speak to you guys next week.